Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, welcome to our third service on Sunday. It has been great. We actually, the second service was full. The 8:30 service, we had, first time we've ever done this, we have nursery from 0 to 2, and then from 3 and up, they were in here. And so, actually it turned out really, really well, surprisingly well. I remember, for some of us, old school, we'll go old school here, where you sat with your parents in church on hard wooden pews. Anybody remember hard wooden pews? Anybody glad you're delivered from hard wooden pews? Oh, mercy. And I had a friend that his dad had a class ring, and if he was messing up, first you get that look from your parents, like, don't do that. Second time, the look would get a little sterner. Third time, he'd turn that class ring around, he'd pop him on the back of the head. This was in the 60s. You don't scream child abuse then. That was just good parenting. And my mom used to, a lot of times we wore shorts to church, my mom used to pinch the and she's like, don't you scream, because we were like, eh. It didn't happen here, but in one church, this little boy was acting up. He would not calm down. Finally, his dad just had enough. He just snatched him up, walked out the aisle, and as he was walking out, the boy yells to the congregation, pray for me, pray for me. So if you have to snatch up your child, we have 4 good spots that you can pray for them out here in the deep. Here's my question this year. What are you looking for in 2026? You're looking for, you know, in New Year's resolutions, I don't make New Year's resolutions now. I have goals, things I want to shoot for. One of my goals this past year was I wanted to read the book of Psalms through the whole book 12 times. I said, did you make it? No. But I got 10. Thank you. Thank you for that polite applause and a few woos. I appreciate that. But I had a goal. And so it's good. I think it's good to set goals. If some of you have set dieting goals, good luck. And but there's goals. Here's another thing. What are you looking for this year? Sometimes people say, if I could just, and you fill in the blank. If I could just have this relationship change, if I could just get a new job, if I could just have something change in my family. And so a lot of times we go into a new year with a wish that the year would be different. But here's my question. What are you expecting this year? Not just wishing, you're expecting. You know, there's something powerful about expectations. There was a couple named George and Jeannie Douglas. They, at one point in time, they had to declare bankruptcy. 15 years later, they were co-founders of a $40 million company. So it turned around. But George realized if things were going to turn around, he was going to have to change his attitude, and he wanted to develop a more positive attitude, an attitude of expectancy. And so he began to do some different things, but one of the things he did was he put a spiral notebook in his car. Jeannie did the same in her car. And in the spiral notebook, he drew a line down the middle of the page. He wrote yes on one side, no on the other side. Now he would drive in, whenever they drove into any parking lot, anywhere, they would drive in, and instead of taking a far-off parking space, they would drive right to the front, just expecting that they're going to find a place in the front, instead of settling for a place in the back. Now, here's what they found. They did this for 7 years. They kept records for 7 years. And they found that 67% of the time, they found a parking place up front. And the idea and what they learned from that was where there's expectancy, opportunities show up. And you're seeing some things. So there's some powerful things in expectancy. So what are you expecting this year? Expecting something good? Expecting some, hopefully it's not something bad. If you talk to a lot of people, they'll tell you, I really have no idea. I just hope it's not bad. But how about this? What are you expecting from God? The psalmist wrote it this way. He said, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." That word hope is a confident, favorable expectation. What they're saying is, hey, instead of waiting for something to change around me, I'm going to put my expectation in God. I'm not going to wait for everything around me to get perfect. I'm not going to wait for perfect situations. My expectation and my hope can be in God. I heard a minister say one time, he said, if you bring God a thimble, he'll fill it. If you bring him a bucket, he'll fill that. If you bring him a 55-gallon barrel, he'll fill that. In the second service, someone shouted out, dump truck. And I'm like, yeah, let's dump truck it. He'll fill that. But here's the thing. What are you expecting from God? And if you're honestly sitting there going, you know, Alan, I really haven't thought about it. I'm not expecting much from God. How do we change that? How do we raise our expectations? And so this is, we were praying, and Joy and I spent some time away. We're praying for you guys. And this prayer came on my heart to have us pray as a church for at least the next 30 days. I think it's a wonderful prayer. And it is a prayer that'll raise our expectations. Prayer is found in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter. Now, before you put it up there, let me just give you a little note about 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, the first 9 chapters are really tedious and hard to read. They're honestly the parts that I kind of skip through. Because it's all those, and so-and-so begot so-and-so and begot, and they list all those weird names. And I know you like me, everybody skips that. And if you skip that, you're going to miss a little hidden gem that's in the 4th chapter. And it's 2 verses. Those 2 verses give us something powerful we can pray for. Verses 9 and 10, 1 Chronicles 4. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, some of you remember 25 years ago, a little book came out by Bruce Wilkinson called The Prayer of Jabez. Anybody remember that? It was a huge bestseller. And like anything in Christendom, when something good comes out, people attack it. And the secular press jumped all over this, calling it a Christian get-rich-quick scheme. And so I read a little bit later, the author was appalled that that's how some people were taking that, but really that's how the secular press was taking it. But I believe there's a lot more to this. And I believe this is a prayer, and I'm going to show you why. I believe this is a prayer that you can pray for you. It's a prayer you can pray for this church. It's a prayer you can make personal. Jabez, you got to understand Jabez. The man, it gives us insight into this man. It said he was an honorable man. Now, when the Bible says things like someone was beautiful or rich or handsome, when the Bible throws out superlatives, you need to pay attention because that means they're standout. So this man was honorable. He was an honorable man, which really implies character. If he was a strong warrior, they would typically call him a mighty man of valor. That's the phrase that you hear used. But what they're saying is he's an honorable man, someone worthy of respect and esteem. What's interesting is they even contrast him with his brothers. They said he was more honorable than his brothers, which indicates it doesn't matter what kind of family you came from. You can be a more honorable person than everybody in your whole family. Your family doesn't dictate to you. And so with Jabez, he was more honorable than all his brothers, but he had a bad label. His mother named him Jabez, # he will cause pain. I mean, what a horrible thing to name a child. He will cause pain. So every time Jabez runs down the street as a little kid, little Jabez runs down to play with the kid next door. He said, hi, what's your name? Oh, my name's Noah. What's your name? Jabez. Jabez? My mama go play with Jabez. Oh, no, you're not. That little boy causes pain. Do not do that. He grew up with that. I don't know why she named him that. It might have been, maybe it was a painful birth. She said, I bore him in pain. Maybe there was something negative going on in her life. Maybe it was a painful childbirth. I was with Joy for all three of our children. They all seemed painful to me. But she, maybe she was sick. Joy, when she carried Matt was our firstborn. When Joy carried Matthew, man, for the first trimester, she was sick as a dog. She would eat a whole sleeve of saltine crackers on the way to work. And she was sick. But we named Matthew, gift of God. We didn't name him child who will make us sick. And yet, Jabez's mother names him this. And that's a label that she pinned on him. But Jabez wasn't going to allow someone else's label to be his destiny. And he said, and so he began to call on God. See, Jabez was a man of faith. We say, well, how do you know that? Well, he called on God. He called on God. Scriptures in Romans tell us you don't call on someone you don't believe in. He called on God, and he called out to God, and he asked God to do something for him, to bless him, to intervene in his life. And he called on God because he believed in God, and he called on God because he believed God would be good to him. See, when Jabez called on God, he didn't say, oh, God, please don't hurt me. Please don't make me sick. Please don't destroy me. He's saying, God, I wish, God, here's my desire. Oh, you can hear his heart. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil. He called on God because he believed God would be good. I think, you know what, if this little guy in the book of 1 Chronicles, if he can call on God and he can believe that God can be good, how much more can we believe that God can be good to us? The same God who sent us Jesus. He did not withhold his only son. He is going, we've got a good God and we can call on him because we believe in him. And Jabez called on God and he asked God to intervene in his life. He said, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. You know, he didn't even specify a blessing. He just said, God, I need you to do for me what I cannot do on my own. But here's the crux of it. He's asking God to bless him, for God to do something in his life so that he won't cause pain. Jabez is praying, God, would you do something for me so that I don't bring pain, so that I am a blessing to the people around me, that in my territory, if you make it big, I'll be a blessing. God, I will not cause pain in their life. That you would do that for me. God, my whole purpose in this, it's not for me. It's that you make me a blessing to somebody else. And the Bible says, and God granted his request. See, that's what you can't miss with this. You read that prayer, and at face value, it may sound selfish. God, bless me, give me more territory, that your hand would be with me, and you keep me from evil. If you read it just like that, you think it's selfish. But I got news for you. God's kingdom doesn't work off selfishness. And God's kingdom doesn't work off selfish prayers. If that had been a selfish prayer, we'd have seen, and God said to Jabez, bad Jabez, don't pray that prayer. He said God granted him what he requested. James tells us this. He said, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and don't receive, because you ask with wrong motive so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So it couldn't have been a selfish prayer. God wouldn't have answered it. So it was a prayer of a man who wanted to be different than the label that was on him. He wanted to be a blessing to people. And he's asking God, God, you get involved in my life. Say, Alan, why would you have us pray this prayer? Why would you ask the church to pray this prayer? Why would you have us pray this for ourselves? Why would you have this pray this for our church? Glad you ask. Here's the first reason. To ignite or reignite your prayer life. You know, when it comes to prayer, that's something that a lot of times people get real fidgety when you talk about prayer. You know, I don't, people avoid me sometimes because I'm a pastor. They see me coming and they go the other way. And I think they're afraid that we're going to do things like, how's your prayer life? Are you reading your Bible? Are you being good? But when it comes to prayer life, a lot of times we don't feel real good about our prayer life. And I think the reason why is we've looked at prayer the wrong way. We've made prayer either blue light praying or a win-lose proposition. What do I mean by blue light praying? I mean, when you're driving down the highway, you look up in the rearview mirror, there's a blue light flashing. You start praying. You're like, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's praying, oh, please, Lord, please, 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 please. And then they go by you like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But our prayer life's got to be more than that. Some people have made it a win-lose proposition. What do you mean by that? I mean, we ask for something and we receive it, that's a win. We ask for something and we don't receive it, that's a loss. And when you take too many L's, you stop praying. Too many people, they just treat prayer like almost like a slot machine. Like, I'm gonna throw this prayer and hopefully it comes up good. And yet that's not what God has for us. Listen, I see prayer requests that come in. Now, let me just help you something. We will pray with you. We will always pray with you. We will pray for you. But oftentimes people are praying, God, make my spouse love me. God, make my adult child do this. God, make, and let me just help you with your prayer. Don't pray that way. Pray, God, send someone across their path. God, speak to their heart. He'll do that. But if God was going to make us do something, He would make all of us get saved right now. And He doesn't do that. He always gives us choices. So when it comes to prayer, this year, let's don't make it a win-lose thing. Let's make it an interaction, a relationship with God. You see, that's what prayer is designed to be. Early on, God would walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the garden. They had fellowship together. God doesn't just want you coming with a list or only when things are bad. He wants to actually be involved in your life. And one of the reasons you can pray this prayer is a lot of times people say, I don't know what to pray. I'm giving you a prayer to pray. And it's a prayer that you can begin to interact with God. You can begin to have a relationship with Him. Because the beauty of relationship is interaction. Joy and I went, we always try to leave after Christmas and take a break. And we went down to Galveston and spent some time down there. Had a wonderful time. But if I came back and you said, well, how was your time in Galveston? Oh, it was nice. Did you have a good time with Joy? Oh, we didn't talk. Like the whole week? No, we didn't talk. Well, I did ask her what's for dinner. You would think they got a problem. That's a relationship problem. Oh, no, we had a great time down there. See, empty nesting. Some of you are afraid of empty nesting. Empty nesting is good. It's a God-ordained thing. It's the nest, and you get to see them and love on the grandkids, and then they get to go. And so Joy and I just, man, we had a great time. We talked about you. Good things. We talked good things about you. We prayed for you. We talked about what we wanted to see and what God was doing. It was interaction. That's the joy of a relationship, is that you would interact with God. And if you stop praying, God wants to talk to you. And so this prayer, you can just begin to pray it and say, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I don't cause pain, that I'm a blessing to people around me. You see, that's a good prayer. You can pray that. You say, well, I thought I could pray the Lord. Listen, you can pray the Lord's Prayer. You can pray this prayer. I just want to see you praying. I just want to see you beginning to interact with God, because He wants to interact with you. He's a good Father. Here's the second reason. To receive God's help in moving past negative labels. So what do you mean by negative labels? I mean labels that maybe other people have said about you. It's amazing. I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I can remember what someone said to me in the third grade that was negative. And it's sad about how sometimes other people can put labels on us. Parents were the worst. And so kids get labeled. I mean, sometimes parents think, you're nothing but trouble. You are nothing but trouble. You are jailbait. You're never going to make it. People say these things. Or maybe someone looked at you and said, you're completely unlovable. Or you are so disappointing. And these labels, man, we don't talk about them, but we carry them. And not just the labels, and by the way, parents, if you're going to label your children, Give them a good label they can live with. Look at them and go, you are a blessing. You are strong. You are sharp. God's got a wonderful plan for your life. Give them a good labels. Because the worst labels are the ones we take for ourselves. Unworthy. Guilty. Disappointed. We can take those labels and we can live with them, and yeah, we don't wear them on our forehead, but they come out in our life. And Jabez was named painful, and he's like, I don't want that label. And listen, if you've been labeled or if you allowed a negative label to come on your life, I got good news for you. You don't have to live with that label. And with God's help and grace, you can come through it. 1979, Dr. Ellen Langer did a study. It was an experiment with a group of men who were 75 years old. She took this group of men, they're all 75, they did some testing beforehand, and they went away for a week. That's all they knew. You're going to go away for a week. But when they got to the place, the retreat place that they were doing this experiment, she told them, she said, we're going to pretend like it's 1959, 20 years. And we want you to begin to think through the lens of the 55-year-old you. Now, they had badges, ID badges, with their pictures when they were 55. They had music playing, and they had magazines out from the year 1959. They were to talk about the president. It was Eisenhower at that time, like he was still the president. They were to talk about their job as if they still had their job instead of being retired from their job. So you get the picture of what they're doing. For a whole week, these guys are acting and playing and thinking like they're 55 years old. You say, what a stupid thing to do. Not necessarily. Here's what happened. They had tested them before on all these diagnostic tests are things that are supposed to degrade, degenerate with age. And then they test them at the end of the week. Here's what they found. They found that their flexibility, physical flexibility, had improved. That their posture had improved, that their eyesight had improved 10%, that their memory had improved, and their intelligence went up. They took pictures of them and found that they looked, on average, to random people 3 years younger at the end of a week than they did before. And what Dr. Langer found out that was looking through the lens and a mindset 20 years younger actually begin to work younger in those men. I think that's a fascinating study. But here's the sad part. When they left that place, they stepped right back into 1979. You see, what happens is when you begin to pray, when you begin to spend time with God, one of the biggest blessings you'll get from Him is that you begin to see yourself through His eyes. And when you begin to see yourself through His eyes, well, that doesn't change in a week. That's something that can absolutely change how you see yourself and how you see life. We've talked about this verse for years. Look at it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, when you begin to go to God as not as the disappointed you or the flawed you or the damaged you, but you go to God and say, Lord, I want to thank you that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. And as a new creation, that doesn't change. That's not going to change now. That's not going to change throughout eternity. You've made me in your image. I look good to you. And if you look good to God, you can look good to yourself. You can begin to take those labels and flick them off saying, this is not who I am. I am who my Father says I am. Here's the third reason. To ask God to do for you what you cannot do on your own. To ask God to bless you. And like I said, we're not specifying blessings. We're not saying, oh, because people hear that and they go, okay, Lord, bless me with a new truck and bless me with a new house and bless me with a new spouse and bless me with some new kids. I don't like the kids I got, and bless me with some other ones. No, this we're not specifying. What we're saying is, God, you bless me and do for me what I can't do on my own. Now, a lot of times people think blessings, and obviously they think material blessings. Is God able to bless us materially?
Yep,
absolutely. I'll tell you something. God has given me jobs before that I was not qualified for. But God can give you favor on your job. And people like you, they don't even know why they like you. I got a job one time where the headhunter connected me with the company. I got that job. She called me 5 years later. She said, "We still talk about you getting that job. We still talk." Why? That's a witness that God did something good. God can bless your life that way. He can open up doors of opportunity that are wonderful. He can do that. But don't limit God to just material blessings. How about being able to lay down at night, put your head on your pillow, and go to sleep in peace? How about having strength to handle the challenges that you face? How about wisdom to deal with problems that have plagued you for a long time? How about correction to get you off the wrong path and get you on the right path? How about direction to showing you which way to go? Listen, God's blessings are priceless. And the beautiful thing about it is when you begin to pray, "Lord, bless me indeed." Remember, we're keeping this wide open. "Lord, you bless me." And listen, don't be afraid. God is not going to bless you with cancer or bless you with sickness or bless you with destroying your car. That's not a blessing. That's the enemy. God is good. The devil is bad. God is good to you. He will not bless you with something negative like that. Don't be afraid of it. And so here's what we're doing. We're saying, "Lord, that you would bless me indeed." And here's the beautiful thing. Now you begin to look for the blessings. See, you haven't asked for them before, but now you're asking God. So you're looking, you're expecting, you're driving to the front of, you're driving close to the front door, except for here, you're driving close to the front door, because here we'll tell you where to go, but you're driving close to the front because you're expecting something good. Why? Because you've asked for something good. Why? Because you don't just want a blessing, you want to be a blessing. Here's how the kingdom of God works. It doesn't work on selfishness. It works on being a blessing to others. Jesus said it like this. He said it best. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In this same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." You've been called to be a blessing. You've been called to let your light shine. This community is not going to be reached by great preachers. This community is going to be reached by people like you letting your light shine and people seeing what God did in your life and going, "I want some of that." There are two oceans, two seas in Israel today. Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The Jordan River flows through both of them. The Jordan River flows through the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful place. It's got fish. It's got birds. It's got all kinds of just living things all around it. And it's beautiful. Man, people go there, they picnic there. You can swim in the water. It's a beautiful place. But the Dead Sea, the Jordan River flows to the Dead Sea, and it's like a desert, like a sea in the desert. It's the lowest place on the earth. It's like a sea in the desert. The water is toxic. It's so full of minerals. You can't swim in it. There's no fish in it. There's no wildlife around. People don't go there. Same Jordan River, two seas. You say, "Well, what's the difference?" Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River flows in and the Jordan River flows out. There's an outlet. In this Dead Sea, the Jordan River flows in and nothing flows out. Water has to evaporate. It's the only way that can leave the Dead Sea. It's a great metaphor of who we are as believers. We're not saying, "God, bless me, just bless me and bless me." We're saying, "God, as your blessings come in, then your blessings go out. I am like a Sea of Galilee. I am full of life and full of light. And whatever you bless me with, I will be a blessing to other people. I'm not going to sit there and just stagnate on that." The prayer of Jabez. Say, "Alan, I don't know if I can pray, God, ask God to bless me. How about this? How about you ask him to bless me?" You're like, "No, I'm not going to ask him to bless you." Then you can ask him to bless you and ask God to do for you what you can't do for yourself. And watch what he does. But as he does it, then you become a blessing, more of a blessing to others. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If you're here and you say, you know what, or maybe you're watching online, you say, you know what, Alan, I had a relationship with the Lord and I stepped away from it. Maybe you're just not sure if you have a relationship with the Lord at all. And on this first Sunday in the new year, 2026, you're sitting here in church or you're watching online. There's a reason for that. I don't think you're here by accident. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, that's me. I don't know where I stand with the Lord, but I want to be sure. Or I've gone away from the Lord and I know it, He knows it, but I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. The purpose is never to embarrass you. My purpose is to bless you. So his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I'm going to ask you this question. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, Alan, that's me. I know I need the Lord in my life, or I know I need Him back in my life. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick all across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. His hands have gone up all over. Anybody else say, well, that's me. Would you pray for me? Okay. Thank you for your courage. It takes courage to do that. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to say this prayer. I'm going to ask the church family just to join. We're all going to pray this together. And for those of you who are online and you're watching, listen, if you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with other people, pray it softly. But here, let's pray it together as a church family. Those of you who raised your hands, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, you wanted to. You can pray this prayer. What a great time to do it. First Sunday of the year, let's get it right. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to You. Head still bowed just for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank You. His hands have gone up and hearts have gone up. Thank You for answering that prayer. For those who have been away, they're coming back. For those who have never received You, they've stepped out of spiritual darkness into the light, and we rejoice with them. And for the rest of us, Lord, thank You. I ask that You would, as a church, that You would bless us indeed, that You would enlarge our territory, that Your hand would be with us in a greater way, that You would keep us from evil, that we may not cause pain in this community, but that we would be a blessing in this community. I pray that for us as a church, for these as Your people, and we'll give You all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.